You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. This time we're looking at the action that's coming up on Friday, the 14th of February. It's Valentine's Day, of course. Racing Radio is going to be live throughout the afternoon and the evening, bring you live action, certainly on the all weather from Lingfield in the afternoon, Dundalk and Savile in the evening, and then hopefully we'll have the action to bring you from Sandown in particular, because it is such a great card that they're scheduled to have, subject to an 8 a.m. inspection, and also from Fakenham, where we had their car could potentially also be in trouble. So hopefully those two meetings both go ahead. And if not, we will have all the all-weather racing to bring you in the afternoon. And of course, those two meetings, as we always do on a Friday evening as well. The team in the studio will be Mark Walton, Lucy Hughes, Tom Morley and Craig Forsyth. But on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. Andy Gibson is alongside me. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. Looking forward to this.
We know you're a big Cheltenham Festival man, probably more so than most, and it is getting closer all the time now. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's a month. What are we, a month away, probably?
Pretty much exactly, I think.
Yeah, sure. There's a month of hard work or 3 weeks of hard work ahead before we get there. As you know, I run a website called the Cheltenham Trail, so I'll be writing an awful lot for members of the trail, and as I do every weekend, and we're gradually stepping up our anti-post portfolio for that for the meeting.
Before that, we've still got some great meetings to come, of course, in the intervening weeks, including this Saturday at Ascot, and we're going to take a look ahead to the big race, the Ascot Chase, in a little bit. And it's not the final grade one before the Cheltenham Festival. It's certainly one of the last grade ones before the Cheltenham Festival, anyway.
Very possible.
And hopefully the weather holds up a little bit here, Andy, because we've already had a depleted week in terms of the jumps racing action. And Sandown have got an 8 a.m. inspection tomorrow, as I said. Hopefully Fakenham stays put. I think there's actually officially an inspection there at the moment, so hopefully that's okay. But it could be very stormy conditions again this weekend, which kind of calls into question whether any one of our jumps meetings could be potentially called off. So fingers crossed.
Haydock, the weather at Haydock, I mean, I live not too far. I'm about 30-40 minutes from Haydock, and I've been looking at that weather closely, and that doesn't look too bad. So I think Haydock's got a very, I mean, it's already heavy ground, so it's obviously going to be incredibly testing, but I think Haydock might be okay. I hope it will be. At the moment, it certainly looks like it's got a better chance than Ascot, doesn't it? I think that's how I'm. I think there's more likely the storm will come in south, and beat the north to the storm. I'm not certain about that, but certainly when I've looked at the weather at Haydock, anyway, it didn't make me. I'm slightly tempted to go to Haydock on Saturday. There's one or two horses I want to watch, but I won't go if it's going to pour down all day. And yesterday it was 50-50 of rain, and now I think it's 88% chance of rain in the afternoon. But the rain doesn't come in until the day, as we stand. So let's see, anyway.
And we know at Haydock, with how heavy it gets, they can get quite a lot of rain and still be on.
Yeah.
Whereas Ascot, for example, might not necessarily be in that position if it were to absolutely tip it down.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Right, so fingers crossed for all of that. We'll talk about tomorrow's racing very shortly indeed. Before that, though, I mentioned we take a look to the Ascot Chase because of the 48-hour decks, with it being a grade one. We got those out today as we record this on Thursday, if you're listening live on Racing Radio, of course, this morning. And only four stand their ground here, Andy. We do have betting for its surname, the 4-11 favourite. Riders on the Storm, 11-4. Janica is 10-1, and Traffic Fluid is 40-1. It's pretty difficult to see Surname getting beaten, isn't it?
Well, obviously, if Surname reproduces the form he's shown when he's won round this course and distance, or a very similar course and distance the last twice he's been here, then he's going to be, you know, nigh on impossible to get beat. When a horse is 4-11, you've got to start looking for the negatives. The negative with Surname was he didn't quite look right last time at Kempton. He probably will be on Saturday, but you'd prefer to see... You wouldn't... With a 4-11 shot, the criteria inevitably has to be more strict when you're looking at investing your money. You know, you just have a minor question mark, the fact that he looked disappointing last time, and you'd rather not see that when you're looking at an upcoming 4-11 favourite. The second favourite, Riders on the Storm, has looked exceptional on very, very soft ground in his last two runs. The main part of interest for me in this race is that I tend not to like horses for the Ryanair when they've competed in this race. I think it tends to be more of a negative than a positive.
Because it takes too much out of them ahead of the race?
Too much out of them too soon to the meeting, and also because it's often very testing ground here. And, you know, going back as far as I remember, you know, Voiper Estades was odds on for the Ryanair after winning this race. I think it was something like a 3 or 4 runner race, and I think he won by 15 lengths on the bridle. But he still flopped at Cheltenham. I think he finished 5th or 6th or something when he was odds on. Riders on the Storm, I would have quite liked him for the Ryanair, but you always felt that given his connections, he was always likely to turn up here. And why not? It's a big prize. It's only 4 runners. It's a much easier one, you know, in the sense that he's got a fantastic chance of finishing 2nd if he doesn't win. There's plenty of prize money on offer, and he's got far more chance of finishing in the first 2 here than he has in the Ryanair. So why wouldn't you go for it? But I do think it might. I'd put a slight question mark against his Ryanair chances, which is quite an interesting one, because just say he was to beat Surname very easily on Saturday, then what will happen, of course, is he'll be the new favourite for the Ryanair if he beats Surname. And if he does beat Surname, he's probably going to have had a grueling race. And so I would actually say that his Ryanair chances have possibly, arguably, been slightly negated by winning here. But the market will move in a very different way, because it's inevitable that, you know, oh, he's beaten this superstar Surname, he's bound to go shorter. So I'd just be careful with that one. I think if you're going to buy, if you do fancy Riders on the Storm for Saturday, the thing, you know, you might want to be sort of playing the markets as much as anything. But I'd just put a question mark against him if he goes for the Ryanair after this, if he has a tough race. And, you know, Yannicka will run a very good race and finish within probably 10-12 lengths of the winner, whereas Riders on the Storm is a little bit unknown.
Yeah.
So I think he's the one that, you know, if something is very, very good outside of Surname, then obviously the market's got it right. It's going to be Riders on the Storm.
Riders on the Storm is probably the biggest improver in the field. But someone earlier on the week on the show, it might have been John O'Connell, I think phrased it very well when he said, Surname is playing at home here. You know, this 2-mile 5-furlong round Ascot. This is exactly where he's put in those dominating performances in the past.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, you know, and the thing is, there's every possibility he won't see another rival all the way around. And there's every possibility he'll just outstay them in the home straight. And but then, you know, that's well taken care of in the market. You know, if we're going to make money at this game, we need to find little chinks of light where nobody else does. And in the case of Surname, if there is one, it is just the fact that he disappointed last time. Nichols is in such good form now. I'd be very surprised if Surname doesn't run his race. I think the likeliest outcome for this race is for Surname to lead all the way. And, you know, if I was going to take a chance, I'd probably rather take a chance on Yannicka finishing 2nd to him at the prices.
Yeah.
Because I think Riders on the Storm is the biggest danger to Surname, but also just as likely to finish 3rd as 1st, if you know what I mean. We just kind of don't know where he is. Whereas we know Yannicka is a really classy horse, and we know he'll probably run his race because he's a superb jumper of a fence. So, you know, I'm not going to play in the race, but if I had a spare fiver, or if you were about to give me one, I'd probably have that fiver on Surname to beat Yannicka, which I don't know what that would pay, but at the moment probably 11-4 or something like that, because you're backing the 3rd favourite.
So our name is 11 to 4 on for the Ascot Chase. It's live here on William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday and also live and free to watch on William Hill Betting TV. And I asked you to pick out another horse ahead of the weekend who you're looking forward to seeing running. Obviously, we haven't got the final decks for the vast majority of the races taking place this weekend, but just as an interesting one for the listeners to keep in mind, who do you like?
I thought that the Grand National Trial at Haydock was an interesting renewal this season. And you've got one or two horses in there that have sort of standouts for me, because this is a race that takes an awful lot of getting. On Saturday, the ground is going to be absolutely bottomless. So you've got a very strong favourite in Lord de Menil, and you can understand why he's a strong favourite. He's won his last three or four races. Last time out, he stayed on really well over this course and distance. And you'd have to say that although this is a big leap in class for him, and he's also up £10 in the handicap, you'd have to say that he comes into this race with every chance again. So he's a very strong favourite. Of the outsiders, I thought that the Twister horse, the Twist and Davis horse, Bally Optic, was very interesting. So I'd have two against the field here. Lord de Menil, the favourite, does look good. I think he'll run his race. And Bally Optic has been given no chance in his last two runs. Around the Aintree Grand National course, he finished 11th of 18th. I'm always happy to forgive horses when they've gone around the national courses. Completely different skill set required compared to coming around a park course. And prior to that, he was 4th of 4 when the ground would have been too quick for him in the Grade 1 Betfair Chase at Haydock. Well beaten by Lost in Translation and his stablemate Bristol Demai, but had no chance that day. He was in superb form earlier on. He won the Charlie Hall. He won a handicap at Chepstow off 1.52 before that, both over around about 3 miles on soft ground. And I think that Bally Optic will certainly be suited to bottomless ground. And I'll be a little wary because obviously he's also entered at Ascot. So let's wait and see where he goes. I'd prefer it if he went for the Haydock race, and I would see him as being having a very viable each way chance at a double figure price. He must be about double figures, is he?
12 to 1.
12 to 1. And Lord de Menil around about 4s, 5s.
Yeah, the 5 to 1 joint favourite with the two amigos. In fact, co-favourites, because Yala Ranky's there on 5 to 1 as well.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Former winner of this race, Yala Ranky, in fact, a couple of years ago. As well.
Well, I like Lord de Menil. I think. He's got a really good profile for this race. I'm surprised he's not a little bit shorter, given the fact that he's won three races in a row and the last one was over course and distance. But I do think Bally Optic will run well if he's in the race on Saturday.
Okay, now let's turn our attention to Friday. Fingers crossed Sandown's going to be on, especially, Andy, because that's where your two selections run. What's the first of them going to be?
Well, I thought we would go to Sandown, the 150 at Sandown, yeah. A handicap chase. I'm assuming that Muratella is now not running because we've just watched him run against First Floor. This might be a shorty. I mean, Dorking Cock might be vying for favouritism as well, but I thought Billingsley was a horse to follow after his last win. I thought when he beat Muratella at Haydock, I thought it might be half decent form. The runner-up Muratella is certainly well thought of. I thought Muratella was also better than he appeared the time before, because he stayed too close to an aggressive pace at Kempton behind Comanche Red on that day. I thought Billingsley showed a really willing attitude to fight back when headed before prevailing in a driving finish last time out at Haydock. He's won all of his four career starts when competing on heavy ground. If the meeting's on, one would assume that it's going to be pretty testing tomorrow, and he'll be quite short. I hope he's odds against, and I thought that he had a very good chance.
Okay, and your other pick runs in the 4 o'clock, which is a race we do actually have prices for. So
okay,
let's go.
Well, you sort the prices out, and I'll just find this on my this horse on my A to Z, because it's we are live here, so I haven't got time to go in between. I've got a list of 700 pages of A to Z notes and.
Okay, well, the prices are Christmas in April is the 4-1 favourite for Colin Tizard, 11-2 for Liboisello, 13-2 Another Venture, Horatio Hornblower 13-2, Potter's Legend also 13-2, St Ernie 7-1, also 7-1, Thomas Patrick, Cobo Lobo is 15-2, and Alminar is 10-1. Field of 9 runners for this handicap chase over 3 miles, Andy.
Right, well, the horse that I'm interested in I thought Koba Lobo would run a nice race at a big price. I'm surprised he's so big. I'm quite pleased he's so big. He's blinkered for the first time tomorrow. There's one point. He's when he ran last year or the year before against the Tizard Hot Pot, and it was at Fosslass, and it was on Storm. It was on bottomless ground. It was appalling, the circumstances there. And he's run second to him with Noel Feely on board that day. I just noted him and I thought, well, I just want to keep him on side when he gets really, you know, really, really heavy ground. He won on Haydock on testing ground 2 runs ago. And then last time out, he was hampered at the first fence and just looked generally unhappy thereafter. He was a 5-1 shot there in a nice race. Copperhead, I think, is a really good horse, the Tizard horse. And I think, but for being hampered at the first, if he'd have put in a really good show there and finished a close second or something, I think he'd be like more like 9-2, 4-1 here or something. So he, what did you say he was, about 15-2?
15-2,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's quite big. And I thought that he was a nice next best. I'll go for Billingsley as the nap at a short price and have this one each way. On testing ground, I think he'll run very well.
Fingers crossed for as much racing as possible on Friday. Sandown, Fakenham, Lingfield, Dundalk and Suffolk are scheduled meetings for a 1:10 start on Racing Radio. Please do join us. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Andy, thanks for being with us today.
Don't worry.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.